Well, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is expected in court in London this evening, fighting a United States demand for his extradition to face espionage charges. Some fear if he is extradited, his fate before the particular court where he's charged is sealed. John Kiriakou is a former CIA agent who went on TV in the US in the early 2000s to publicly expose the US government's official torture program against terror detainees, and particularly to reveal extreme use of waterboarding and its failure to produce results. For his trouble, he eventually spent close to 2 years in jail and was tried in the same court Julian Assange would appear in if he is extradited. I asked John Kiriakou first about the appropriateness of the espionage charges.
The Espionage Act here in the United States was written in 1917 specifically to combat German saboteurs. It was never updated. And in fact, it's so old and so broad that it doesn't even mention the term classified information, because the classification system hadn't even been invented until the 1950s. It mentions only national defense information, and national defense information is not defined. Between 1917 and 2009, only three people, all Americans, were charged with espionage for speaking with the media. None of those people were convicted. And it's because the law was interpreted all the way up to the Circuit Court of Appeals level as being meant for foreign intelligence officers or people working on behalf of foreign intelligence officers. Julian hasn't worked for foreign intelligence officers, and I suspect that the Justice Department has bitten off a little more than it can chew.
Well, why do you say that? Because, I mean, they are on the cusp, really, of getting him, and there are these 17 counts, and you know very well how the court system works. So how do you see this playing out then?
Well, I think the problem that Julian has is that he's been charged in the Eastern District of Virginia, and that is the federal district that is the home of the CIA and the Defense Department. The Eastern District of Virginia is famous in that it's known as the espionage court because almost every espionage case is brought there, and no national security defendant has ever won. No one has ever been acquitted in the Eastern District of Virginia. Furthermore, Julian's judge, a woman named Judge Leni Brinkema, she was a Ronald Reagan appointee to the federal bench, reserves all national security cases for herself. She handled my case. She reserved the Snowden case for herself. She's Julian's judge. She was the judge in the Jeffrey Sterling CIA whistleblowing case. All of these cases are hers. And before she became a judge, what do you think she did for a living? She was a federal national security prosecutor. And so I believe when I say that the fix is probably in. With that said, if Julian does not take a plea and is convicted of even one of these counts of espionage, he would then be that rare person who has standing to appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States on the grounds that the Espionage Act is unconstitutionally broad. That argument has never been made before the Supreme Court. Now might be the time.
One of the claims that Julian Assange's critics make is that the work he's done and WikiLeaks have endangered lives with revelations they've made. Do you believe that to be true?
No, heavens no. That's a red herring that the Justice Department throws out in every single one of these cases. In fact, in my own case, I blew the whistle on the CIA's torture program in 2007, and that was one of the first things they said to me in my first meeting with the Department of Justice. They said, you endangered lives. And I said, who? Name the person whose life I endangered. Name one. And then they dropped it and they never came back to it. They did the same thing to Thomas Drake, who was the famed, at least in the United States, NSA whistleblower. When he blew the whistle on NSA spying on American citizens, they made the same accusation against him in the press that he had put soldiers' lives at risk. They had to withdraw that as well and retract it because it just simply wasn't true. I even predicted before Julian was formally charged that the Justice Department would tell the media here in the States that he had put Americans' lives in danger. And sure enough, they said it, although they can't prove it. And they can't prove it because it never happened.
I mean, we are yet to see the British court process play out, of course, but
yes,
assuming Julian Assange is extradited and faces a court, he is certainly being pursued by the US authorities because he published, whether one believes yes, he's a journalist or not. Does this break new ground for the US in terms of First Amendment press freedom protections there?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, it does break new ground. And you can tell that by the way the mainstream media has done a 180-degree turn since Julian's arrest. MSNBC, one of the big cable news networks here, was staunchly in the anti-Julian camp until the day of his arrest. And then they said, well, whether you like his politics or not, whether you believe he's a journalist or not, this is an attack on our First Amendment freedom of speech and press. Similarly, the Washington Post, which is very neoliberal in its outlook, it's very mainstream, and had been publishing editorials solidly opposed to Julian, saying that he wasn't even man enough to leave the embassy and face his charges, immediately turned and said, we all have to stand together to support Julian Assange because it's Julian Assange being the only person or the only thing that stands between national security journalists and prison sentences.
And since we're on that topic, you're well aware, of course, that Australia is having a discussion about these very issues after federal police raids on my employer, the ABC, and a News Corp journalist. What's your sense of Australia's debate on that and whether we are striking the balance correctly here?
I like to follow these cases very closely. And it's funny, here in the States, for whatever reason, we always have this picture of Australia in our minds as being so much more sophisticated than we are and so much more liberal than we are. And this raid on ABC was just so appalling. It made the front pages of every major newspaper in the United States. It was the top story on all of the cable news networks. I think Americans were shocked that it could happen in Australia. We thought it could only happen in the United States and maybe in the UK if you happen to work for The Guardian. But yeah, this is something that took us all by surprise, and I think that this is really a path that the Australian government ought not to want to go down.
John Kiriakou, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Former CIA officer and whistleblower John Kiriakou speaking to me from Virginia.